I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm always happy that I'm able to come and to be in the congregation of the Bride of Christ. I'm also happy to be able to grow old enough to see kids grow up and take that mantle upon them, the calling of Jesus Christ, that he might preach and teach the gospel. It thrills my soul to be able to see these things within my life. And I look forward to others as the Spirit would move among our young men to consider the things of God and someday may be called to something that he would have them to do in their life. Aaron's one of those. I know he takes it seriously, and I do enjoy his different approach at times. I know sometimes he puts us on the spot, doesn't he? But in all those things, I know that he has a heart of a servant. He desires to serve God. And so I ask that you would be mindful of him as he stands before you and consider the words that the Lord has impressed upon his heart. And I'll give you now our brother Aaron.
Thank you, Gordon. Let me get set up here. All right, this is new to me. Uh-oh. Give me a moment here, I apologize. I just opened this up today on my thing because my wife wanted to watch on the live stream, and so she has the computer, so I had to try this new thing on my tablet, and looks like I've lost my... All right, well, this is going to be interesting. Oh, there. No, that ain't it. Well, shared. That is going to be most unfortunate. Looks like I just lost all my notes. Nice. All right, well, I'm going to wing it. Maybe you're rather short. Apologize. I think I had some notes on my phone. Maybe that'll bring up some... Well, I apologize for that. I had my notes set up, and I was ready to go, and it looks like they're not here. Okay. I'll probably find it later when I get home and I'm not on the spot. I had a thought, you know, a while back. You know, I was going to preach, and my next scheduled preaching was next month sometime. And I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I came up with an idea. And our brother Jim, who was supposed to preach tonight, was going to be out of town. So he asked me to step in, so now I'm... I have a lot of time to present my thoughts, think things through, and get stories, and get so this one got sped up a bit. And I'm looking one more. No files. All right. Well, had a malfunction. Okay. Well, we'll go with what I got. You know, I had a thought when I was thinking about what I would say, what I would come up with, what I would talk about. And, you know, my brother, Gordon, he came up this morning and he gave me a great introduction to what I felt was going to be my thoughts. You know, his whole theme was, you know, look to Christ and to focus on him. And it was an excellent excellent sermon, and I thought it would lead well into my thoughts that I had today. And, you know, I had a whole bunch of thoughts, and I wrote down all these scriptures, and now they're gone, and so I host that. Ask that you pray for me, and I'd be able to throw something together here on the fly. But you know, we're to look to Christ, as our brother said this morning. You know, and we're given the goal, and the goal is eternal salvation. You know, and so we enter into the way, and I'm going to read a scripture that I used this morning for our Sunday school. And there's a lot of people, a lot of faces out there that weren't in our Sunday school this morning, and I know there's people on live stream that also were not there. And so I'm going to turn to the 14th chapter of the second book of Nephi. And I'm going to read the first four verses. "And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do, after that ye have received, after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do." And so, when we look to the words of Christ, we're given our goal. We're given the goal. We're given the end game. We're given what it is we should be seeking for. And we seek for eternal salvation. We want to go to heaven one day with our Lord. We want to make it to the gates of heaven. We want to hear the words, "Good and faithful servant, enter ye in." And that is our goal. That is the whole goal, the whole purpose of our lives here. Our entire life is one test. We see that in Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter. In the 13th and the 14th verse. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And we're all going to stand judged one day. We're all going to stand before him, and he's going to judge us of our works, and he's going to judge us of our deeds that we've done in this life. You know, and as we look to Christ, as we look to his example, you know, he came and he was baptized. He gave his life, and he gave all, and he gave everything that he had so that we could all be redeemed. And we are all redeemed of the fall. And so then it becomes our job to strive for salvation. You know, all are redeemed, but not all attain salvation, because we have to show forth good works. And we have to run our race. And that's what I titled my sermons this evening, was to run the race. If we go into Hebrews, I believe it is the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Memory serves. Yeah. 12th chapter of Hebrews. In the first verse. "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, it's a race. And everyone runs a race. And if you ever watch a race, you know that if people that run races, you know, if they're running in the Olympics or running for track and they're running for, it's not going to help me. I don't have anything on there. Thanks, Mom. They run a race, you know, they run it with intensity. They run it with the goal in mind. And they give their all so that they can win the prize. There's another scripture I had written down, you know, about running the race and how all run, you know, but one prize is given. Therefore, we need to run with everything we've got. I believe that's over in Corinthians somewhere, but I can't remember it off the top of my head like I've got these other ones. But, you know, we need to run and give everything that we've got. We have to run with an intensity. We have to run forward, looking to Christ the entire time, giving our all. And it seems, you know, there's times when we maybe lose sight and we fall into sin. And over, you look over and over in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon, and you see instances where God's people they become blessed, and then they soon fall away. And they're given prophets, and sometimes the prophets are able to convince them, and sometimes they're not. And sometimes it takes a great trial to bring people back in, to bring people back to where they belong, to bring them back to that intensity that they need. I was looking in my Book of Mormon, and see if I can find it here, if you'll just bear with me for a moment. I know the story. I know where it's at. Mormon. All right, gallery. That's the end. Well, I'll try and go from memory. Oh, here we go. Third book of Nephi. All right, so in third book of Nephi, starting in the first chapter, the people had come, and they had they'd fallen away. They'd experienced a great deal of prosperity, and and the prophets had come and told of the coming of Christ, and there was belief. But then, people began to wane, and they began to doubt, and they began to sin, and they began to leave behind the ways, And in the first chapter of the third book of Nephi, in verse 42, "And Satan did go about leading away the hearts of the people, tempting them and causing them that they should do great wickedness in the land." And so he'd gotten hold of them. And in the midst of this getting a hold of their hearts, a great evil began to take hold of the land. A band of robbers, they called themselves the Gadianton robbers, they began to go throughout the land. They were lying and stealing and murdering and using secret societies and secret oaths and secret handshakes and all these things to try and, further their means and further their abilities. And they became very, very powerful during this time because, these people had gone away. They had ignored the prophets. They'd lost sight. They'd lost their intensity. They'd lost the focus on Christ. And so it came to the point where, they began to war with these robbers. And it even came to the point, too, where the Lamanites and the Nephites united. And it became, at one time they had warred against each other, but now this evil was so great that they had to join together. And they had to fight one another, or they had to fight with each other to stop this threat. You can see that in the 52nd verse. "And it came to pass that those Lamanites, which united with the Nephites, were numbered among the Nephites, and their curse was taken away from them. Their skin became white like unto the Nephites. And their young men and the daughters became exceeding fair, and they were numbered among the Nephites, and they were called Nephites. And thus ended the 30th year." So, even in that moment, they lost the curse. It was set upon them. Their skin changed back to white, and they were relieved of that curse because they had joined. And there was a small band that believed. But they were far outnumbered. And in the 57th verse, in the first chapter. And thus ended the 50th year, the 15th year. And thus were the people in a state of many afflictions. And the sword of destruction did hang over them, insomuch that they were about to be smitten down by it, and this because of their iniquity. And so they all could see the state that they were in. You know, they were about to be destroyed. They were about to lose everything, their liberty, their lives, their religion, their homes, their children. Everything was about to be destroyed by these robbers, this great evil which had overcome the land. You know, and if you read in here, in the whole story, they surrounded them essentially on the north and on the south. And then the leader of this group, he writes this message, gives it to the governor. And he makes demands. He says, you know, I won't kill you, but you've got to give me everything. And you've got to be subject to me. You have to become my slaves. You know? And they, of course, the governor of the land was disturbed by this. You know, this was very bold. And fortunately, this governor was a God-fearing man. His name was Laconius, I believe. I think that's how you pronounce it. So he received this letter, and this is his response. If you go into the second chapter, we'll start, I think, in the 17th verse is where I'm going to start reading. Yea, he sent a proclamation among all the people. They should gather together their women and their children, their flocks and their herds and their substance, save it were their land, unto one place. He caused that fortifications should be built round about them, and the strength thereof should be exceeding great. And he caused that there should be armies, both of which the Nephites and the Lamanites, or all of them which were numbered among the Nephites, should be placed as guards round about to watch them, to guard them from the robbers day and night. Yea, he said unto them, as the Lord liveth, except ye repent of all your iniquities, and cry unto the Lord, that they could in no wise be delivered out of the hands of those Gadian robbers. And so great and marvelous were the words and prophecies of Laconius, that they did cause fear to come among all the people, and they did exert themselves in their might to do according to the words of Laconius. And so that one man saw what was causing their problems. He saw their iniquity was great, what had brought them. And he sent this proclamation out. He said, you need to repent. Look back to Christ. Look back with intensity. Look back with passion towards him. And so these Gadiatin robbers came. And they were on the interior and the exterior, they were very fearsome. They had such a hatred for their people, for the Nephites. If you go back into verse 5 of the second chapter, portion of that letter, and I know of their unconquerable spirit, having proved them in the field of battle, and knowing their everlasting hatred towards you because of the many wrongs which you have done to them. Therefore, if they should come down against you, they would visit you with utter destruction. So they had one thing on their mind, that was the destruction of this people. We go back up, and they're prepared to meet them. They've centered themselves into their land, took everything they had, their grains and their people, their horses, their arms, their armies, and they moved it all in one place. Skipping over into the 49th verse, we see where this battle then commences. It came to pass that it had come up to battle, and it was the sixth month, and behold, great and terrible was that day that they did come up to battle. And they were girded about after the manner of robbers, and they had lambskin about their loins, and they were dyed with blood, and their heads were shorn, and their headplates were upon them. And great and terrible was the appearance of the armies of Gedani, because of their armor, and because of their being dyed in blood. You can imagine that, thousands and thousands of warriors all stripped down, dripping in blood. It'd be a fearsome sight, wouldn't it? You can imagine there would be some intensity there, wouldn't there? Continue on in verse 52. And it came to pass that the armies of the Nephites, when they saw the appearance of the army of Gedani, so that was the description of the army. I think if we go back, Where's it at? Where did it go? Sorry, I forgot my notes here. I'm winging it. We'll just continue on, read it, and we'll get the idea across. So, verse 52. And it came to pass that the armies of the Nephites, when they saw the appearance of the army of the enemy, had fallen to the earth. They saw this fearsome army coming up, and they fell to the earth. And they did lift their cries to the Lord, their God, that he would spare them and deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. So right on the battlefield, they got down on their hands and knees, and they began to ask that God would deliver them. And it came to pass that when the armies of Gedani saw this, they began to shout with a loud voice because of their joy, for they had supposed that the Nephites had fallen with fear because of the terror of their armies. But in this thing they were disappointed, for the Nephites did not fear them, but they did fear their God, and did supplicate him for protection. Therefore, when the armies of Gedani did rush upon them, they were prepared to meet them, yea, in the strength of the Lord, they did receive them. And the battle commenced, in this the sixth month. When we read on, it was a great and terrible battle which took place. Many, many people died. But the Nephites came out victorious. You know, and they, because they had gotten down and they'd prayed for protection. They'd repented of their sins, and you better believe that on that battlefield, they were running the race with intensity. They were looking towards God. Because a lot was at stake there. They had to defend their homes, their religion, their freedom against this determined foe that wanted nothing but their destruction. Much in the same way that Satan wants our destruction. And these people, they had to be brought back. And this is what it took to bring them back. They had to face death. Just as we face death each day, our spiritual death, we've got to get down on our hands and knees, and with intensity, we have to pray. And God will protect us. He will give us what we need. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through the battle. We have to go through a lot of battles, and we have to face a lot of fears. But our adversary wants our destruction. He wants it. He wants it more than anything else. And God wants our salvation. These are the only two choices we have: utter destruction and salvation. There's no in-between. And as the battle drew on, you know, these robbers, they weren't very well prepared for battle. They didn't have a lot of stores of food because they went around stealing everything. When they brought everything, of course, they didn't have anything. They had to go hunt for their food, and the game became scarce. And they met in a final battle. And then they won. The Nephites won. And this is their response. The 77th verse in the second chapter. And they did rejoice and cry again with one voice, saying, May the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob protect this people in righteousness, so long as they shall call on the name of their God for protection. And it came to pass that it break forth all as one in singing and praising their God for the great thing which he had done for them, and preserving them from falling into the hands of their enemies. Yea, they did cry, Hosanna to the Most High God. And they did cry, Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty, the Most High God. And their hearts were swollen with joy unto the gushing out of many tears, because of the great goodness of God in delivering them out of the hands of their enemies. And they knew it was because of their repentance and their humility that they had been delivered from an everlasting destruction. And now behold, there was not a living soul among all the people of the Nephites, which did doubt in the least in the things, which did doubt in the least thing in the words of all holy prophets which had spoken. For they knew that it must needs be that they must be fulfilled, and they knew that it must be expedient that Christ should come because of the many signs which had been given, according to the words of the prophets. And because of the things which had come to pass already, they knew that it must needs be that all things should come to pass according to that which had been spoken. Therefore they did forsake all their sins and their abominations and their whoredoms, and did serve God with all diligence, day and night. And with all diligence, with all intensity, with all purpose. After they came to this great trial, they were given that intensity. They were running their race at that point. Hard charging forward with their eyes on God. Because they knew it took humility, they knew it took repentance, it took faith, and they were blessed. They had to go through a great trial. I'm sure they lost many people. There was a lot of mourning. But when you believe as such, when you face your enemy, even if you lose this life, you still win. You still get to hear, good and faithful servant, enter in. And so they go on and they stamped out this evil, put in jail all the ones that had committed crimes, put to death all the ones that would not change their ways. And then there became a great peace throughout the land. And so they had to take action. They had to repent. They had to go through and find, you know, good works. Again, forgive me. I'm going to try and find my scripture that I had before. And so they believed, they had faith, and they had to work. They had to ask for repentance, they had to ask for forgiveness. And I want to turn over into James, in the second chapter. I'm just going to read about faith and works. Starting in the 14th verse. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so with our faith we must work. And that is where blessings can come. You know, blessings come through action. You know, and God is going to bless those that are working towards Him. They work with that intensity, that drive, that vision, looking to Christ. You know, I don't view God as a social program. He doesn't give you blessings simply for existence. Yeah. Certainly He has His social programs. He created the family, and the families are take care of each other. That's, you know, that is God's social program, in my opinion. But you know, to be saved, you must show works that are worthy. Worthy of being judged. So that when you meet judgment on judgment day, it's going to be found well with you. Can I have a scripture on there somewhere on that? I can't find it now because I don't have it all memorized. But I know it's there. I'll find it for you later. Again, I apologize for being having technical issues. And I'm sorry that I didn't have more to give you, but I hope that you know what I have given you has been filling this evening, and I do apologize for not having been more prepared. So I hope I've been able to fill you with something, give you something to think about, give you something to take home with you and warm your souls. So may the grace of God be upon you.
Plates of brass, they knew the things that went before them, their ancestors. There's in the book of Chronicles, in the 7th chapter, it's when at the end of Solomon had built the temple, he had consecrated the temple, God made his appearance in the temple. And then the Lord spoke to Solomon and gave him some words. You can find it in the, starting in verse 12, it says in that 7th chapter, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." And that's really what we're called to. And this is what Aaron was talking about, our reasonable service in this life, in exercising our faith. And he said, "If I shut up heavens and there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." And Aaron was talking about that, and he was reading about that pestilence because they forgot God. And they forgot their faith. And so Satan and evil took the upper hand. But this is the promise that they had to turn to, and the Lord was faithful in his promise. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And that promise, long ago given to Solomon, practiced by those who came to this land 22 years before Christ was born. I mean, 10 years before Christ came to fulfill his promises and walk among the children of men. It was 22 AD. They took that promise to heart. And God heard their cries and strengthened them and destroyed their enemies. And that's the promise to us when we look to Christ. I thank you, Aaron, for your message this evening. I pray that you remember the all the different things that are on the schedule.